and welcome to The Nest, the official podcast of Embry-Riddle Athletics. Joined by Michael Pierce, I'm Ryan Mosier. We are assistant sports information directors here at Embry-Riddle. And we, later on in this podcast, have an interview with Embry-Riddle men's head golf coach, Ken Staton. Men's golf just wrapped up their fall season. We had another full week of Embry-Riddle Athletics this past week. Mike, why don't you start us off with a little bit of volleyball action?
Yeah, the Embry-Riddle volleyball team on the road over the weekend got a couple of big wins, a five-setter down at Palm Beach Atlantic on Friday, and then followed that up with a 3-1 win at Lynn. And then on Tuesday, they got an easy 3-0 sweep against Barrie, so three big wins for the volleyball team. They are one win away from the most wins they've had in an SSC season in conference play. And looking pretty solid as a top three seed if the conference had a tournament, probably top five, top six in the region. So region rankings should come out pretty soon. Men's soccer wrapped up their season on Saturday with a 2-0 defeat against Nova Southeastern here in Daytona Beach. Women's soccer had a big 3-2 win down at Nova. That was a heck of a game. Embry-Riddle getting the win and the 3 points, which earned them a conference regular season championship.
Yeah, that was the first regular season conference title for Embry-Riddle Athletics since we moved to NCAA Division II and the SSC. Obviously, women's soccer won the tournament a couple years ago, and then both the cross country and track teams have won the championship events.
Yeah, but those aren't regular season.
But the first regular season conference title in the SSC or Peach Belt, which we're only competing in track and Peach Belt, but for Coach Sam Bohan and the Embry-Riddle women's soccer team. And it was a good game down in Fort Lauderdale. It was a rematch of the NCAA Division II Sweet 16 last year, two years ago, I guess. They won 3-2 and don't want to lean too hard into the cliche, but they are peaking at the right time. They have not lost a game since October 2nd. They've wrapped up the number one seed for the conference tournament. They will host at least a semifinal. They'll host the winner of the 4-5 game, I believe. And so we don't know. That tournament hasn't been set because there's still a game left to be played. I think, Florida Southern and Rollins. Yep. So the Eagles won't know their opponent until Monday, November 8th. After the first round, it's one of the nice things about winning the league. You get a bye.
Yep.
So the women's soccer will start their postseason on the 11th of November, and it will be a home game. Other things that happened last week, both women's basketball and men's basketball kind of got their season started. Women's basketball played Thomas, former NAI and Sun Conference foe of the Eagles. Thomas out of Georgia. They played an exhibition game on Sunday and took care of the Nighthawks 86-29. A lot of new faces for the women, both for the freshmen that were freshmen last year that didn't get a play, and then the freshmen that are true freshmen this year, as well as some very familiar faces, the likes of Nikki Tucker and Shelby Bischoff, Sydney Jones, etc. So exciting as they're getting their season underway here pretty soon. And men's basketball as well, they had a thrilling comeback win over St. Thomas in an exhibition game on last Thursday here at home. Mm-hmm. If it was a regular season game, it would have been one of the biggest comebacks in program history. They were down 13 with 8 minutes left and ended the game outscoring St. Thomas by, 19. Because they won by 6, 83-77. They went 11-for-12 from the field over the last 8 minutes.
Wow.
And 4-for-4 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
To win that one, beat the Bobcats. A team that, just from my point of view, will be a very good NAI team
this year.
And then on Monday, men's basketball got to go over to Gainesville to play the Florida Gators in another exhibition. And Mike and I were both there for that one. And I think for the first half, there were a lot of Eagle fans that were thinking, this might happen. Because the Eagles played really, really well.
It was very competitive.
And there were times, and I put this in the recap, but there were times where Romeo Crouch was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think everyone knows, like, he's a special player, but there were times where it was clear he could easily play at that level. But in the second half, the Gators decided that they could hit some threes, and their depth, I think, was a little too much for the Eagles as they won 80-57. But a game that was, you know, closer than that score indicates. But they had a lot of fun. It was a good experience for those guys, good experience for a lot of our fans that got to go over there. Mm-hmm. I was seeing a lot of social media posts afterwards from a lot of student athletes and a lot of alums that were able to go over to Gainesville and enjoy that one. A lot of Eagle fans are also Gator fans, so it was kind of a win-win yeah, situation
true.
There.
True, true.
And the other team, we talked a little bit earlier, the men's golf, they wrapped up their fall season at the McDonough Cup over in Winter Park. And Ian Alderondo having the best tournament of his career, the best tournament, 54-hole score in the history of Embry-Riddle men's golf.
Yeah.
And he was he had the lead. He was the leader in the clubhouse. And then a kid from Nova chipped in on 18
yep.
to claim the individual title. So a really good tournament for Ian Alderondo and the men's golf team as they wrapped up their fall season. Men's golf, I think it finished 8th at the McDonough Cup. And that'll take us perfectly into our interview with head coach Ken Staton. So you'll enjoy that. We'll be back here in a minute. All right, welcome to the Nest. We are joined today with Embry-Riddle head men's golf coach Ken Staton. Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Coach, you're in your, I think, 12th season as the head coach here at Embry-Riddle.
Somebody asked me the other day, and I really didn't know.
you had a lot of success as a player professionally. And you've been around the game of golf probably your entire life. Now you're in the college space as a coach, what do you see as kind of some of the biggest changes in the game, or maybe the, you know, the stuff that's connected to the game of golf over the last 25-ish years? And on another part of that question is, do you think any of them are negative changes?
I really don't think there's any negative ones. There's obviously people that would disagree, and they're nitpicking. I'm all for evolving the game, and if it's wrong, then it will self-correct. Mm-hmm. But in the last probably 25 years, I mean, the big thing is the fitness of the players, the equipment, how much stronger they are, how much farther they hit it, and that's professional and collegiate players.
When you're recruiting as a golf coach, do you, like, when we're thinking about like a sport like basketball, you know, that coaches will look at game film, or they'll go watch a game. When you're recruiting, do you ask to see them? Like, do you try to go watch them play around? Can you play a round of golf with a recruit? Like, how does that work?
Okay, so I definitely would like to try to get out to the course and see them play in the tournament. It's very difficult when you have internationals.
True.
But over the last couple of years, I've actually seen quite a few internationals. I contact them, or they contact me through email. They tell me they're coming over for, you know, a tournament in Orlando or Doral. And I've been to both places, at junior tournaments. And it's difficult to do that, but if I don't go and watch them play, that's the good thing about video. You know, they can send me swing video, and starting with recruiting, I automatically go to what they're interested in, their GPA, test scores, and just go from there.
What's your pitch, like, if you're trying to get a kid to come to Embry-Riddle, what's your pitch to sell them on the benefits of coming here?
Well, the practice facility we have on the golf side, the practice facility that we have at Plantation Bay, and we used to play at LPGA, just they're great golf courses, great golf facilities. And on the academic side, you know, we're kind of like a niche college, aviation, and that's really the main reason why they actually really want to come here is because of the school. And if, you know, if they're great golfers, then that's a bonus.
The players that you've had or the players that you've seen or you know, you've worked with, is there a, are there commonalities between the ones that handle the mental side better than some others that don't handle it as well?
I mean, as individuals, I don't think I'm able to make that judgment on if they're even capable. But the ones that are really good at it, they were exposed at an earlier age to like the mental side, like to the preparation, to the routine, to, you know, how to practice properly and effectively. And, you know, I've had raw talent guys come here and they're just out there fooling around and, you know, hitting shots, which in a way is a good thing. But, you know, it's about structure and being able to practice in an efficient way, because as you guys know, golf takes quite a while to play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot of on range, on chipping, chipping greens for practice and putting green. And that's where you kind of learn your skills, but then you have to be able to take the skills out on the golf course, and that's part of the mental game,
right?
You know, but it's really the guys, the longer that they're exposed to thinking in a certain way, they adjust better on the mental side when they're playing.
With golf being such an individual sport, what are some of the challenges, I guess, to having team camaraderie and team building in the college level?
You know, it's, I always remind the guys that it is an individual sport, and they know that. It's kind of funny. It's, teams I used to have and teams that I have now are a little bit different. The teams that I used to have, they always used to ask me, how's, you know, Jackson doing? How's Don Shotto doing? And I would always say, don't worry about what they're doing. They're playing hard for you because you're his teammate. So that's the team aspect. But it's about, again, that mental part is, don't worry about what they're doing. You've got plenty to, you know, you got your own game to handle. So that's what you need to focus on, you know. And that's the part of golf where it is individual, but you know you're playing for your teammates. You know, and I've always had tight teams. They always like hanging out, doing things, having dinners together and stuff like that. And that's the team part of it, even though it's not on the course. You know, it's about that connection. And when they're on the golf course, they know that, you know, they're playing for somebody. It's kind of like the Ryder Cup, you know, that was just played. And you always hear about, you know, the players saying how special it is because they're playing for their country. So they're playing for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try to get the players to play for each other.
Yeah.
Even though they're not playing in the same group.
Right.
A few years back, we transitioned from NAIA to Division II. What changes were a result of that for you, like from a coaching standpoint? How did your recruiting or your coaching or anything change with that?
The recruiting changed because a lot more players wanted to come here.
Okay.
So that got me more busy. the courses that we play, the teams that we play against, you know, we were fortunate to have great competition in NAIA, and now again we're in the same boat, meaning like our conference is the best conference in the country. And as that goes, competition wise, it, you know, hasn't changed very much, and it's kind of funny that a lot of the teams that were at the top of the conference that we used to play in actually still play in the tournaments and competing against us.
Yeah.
You know, golf is that way where you can have a lot of different crossover. You can have Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA teams all in the same tournament. There are certain NCAA rules where in order to count towards your eligibility for postseason, you have to have, I think it's like 80% or something like that.
Okay.
Division II.
Yeah.
So, on a positive side. Like I said, there's more players to choose from, more talent. The talent definitely has risen over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's incredible as well. Is this year, a couple of years ago, I picked up a walk-on. I usually don't take walk-ons just because, you know, they're shooting big numbers. I had 11 guys try to walk on this year. It's been 2 years since we're able to do walk-on tryouts. I took three. Mm. And I just took one to our last tournament. So, is that because of division going to NCAA Division II? Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
it really, because I did have contact with two of the players that walked on, and, you know, I don't have the open spots, so I always kind of leave spots open for walk-ons, but I have certain spots to fill, and that's what I shot for, and they were already filled when they had contacted me.
Hmm. What has been your of the courses that we play, you know, annually, what's your favorite one?
Flagler's event's pretty good. They do switch it around from Palencia, which is a course really close to St. Augustine downtown area.
Yeah.
And they also, this year, they switched it back to World Golf Village, and it's just a good experience for the players, and it's a good course and always in good condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the favorite course you ever played?
That's a tough question. There was a course up in Canada, Eagle Creek, that for some reason I always loved to play, and I don't know if it still holds, but I had the course record there 1 year. I played there, and I think it was 62 or something like that. But you know, when you like a course and you play it well, you even like it more and more.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that course kind of stands out in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I've played so many great courses, and in each course, it's almost like, you know, how they say compare apples to apples. You know, you go out west and you have a different feel for the course. The course has a different feel than an East Coast course. Mm. And a northern compared to a Florida course.
Right.
Totally different. Just the look of the trees, the grass, you know, different shape of the holes and the hills and stuff like that is just tough to just pick one course as a favorite.
Right. The only other question I have is, you know, golf usually is introduced to kids through their parents. And now that you're a parent of two, are you going to coach them, or are you going to be more of a let's go have fun? You know, are you just going to play it by ear?
I mean, I've already started my oldest, and he turns five next week, and he likes it, even though we're at school. He was doing a celebration of life, you know, and so it has all these questions, and Sasha, my wife, was asking Nash this morning, you know, what's your favorite thing to do? And he was like thinking, and Sasha goes, is it golf or is it martial arts? And he goes, not golf, it's too hot. Martial arts. Like that. So there's already negative on the golf side. But as the coaching part, you know, I've always been kind of like a teacher and a coach when it comes to golf. Mm. And I always will have that aspect. But having fun is one of the main things that you need to do with golf. Because the game of golf will beat you down. I was thinking about this I was thinking about this for a reason, but when you think about it, there was 13 teams in the golf tournament this past weekend, and there's only one winner. And there's only one winner individually, and there's only one winner team. Yeah. So it's always that, you know, that pressure or that drive to be number one, but 99% of the time, or whatever, you know, high 90%, you walk away and you didn't achieve what you wanted. Mm-hmm. So to be able to handle that, and if you focus on the negative side of that, it'll beat you down, make you worse. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's all about, you know, going forward and having that drive to, you know, that one day you're going to win. You got to have that belief, and that one day the team's going to win.
Yeah. All right, Coach Staton, appreciate your time to come talk with us today.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks again to Coach Ken Staton for joining us. Coach Staton and the men's golf team will rest up the rest of this fall and winter and prepare for the spring schedule here in a couple of months. Mike, we've got some more events coming up this week. Why don't you start us off with a little rowing and volleyball?
Yep, men's and women's rowing back in action. Their first dual meet of the fall will be Saturday, November 6th up in Jacksonville at the Dolphin Invitational. Saturday, volleyball has a big home match against Nova Southeastern, ranked 17th in the country, number 2 in the conference right now, I believe. So a big, big match for Embry-Riddle. I think a win in that one would move them into a tie with Nova for second. And then later on next week, a rare Wednesday evening match at St. Leo. I believe it's the first time Embry-Riddle will play on a Wednesday in 6 or 7 years. It's just not a normal thing. You got moved around because of conflicts with basketball over at St. Leo. They're hosting one of those preseason regional things. So ended up getting moved to a Wednesday. What else do we have next week with basketball?
Yeah, so basketball plays. Men's basketball gets the season started officially up in Missouri on Saturday, November 6th against Missouri Western State. And they will play again on Sunday with about a 18-hour turnaround.
Yeah.
And they will play Alabama Huntsville, which is a region game, so it's a big one. But it's going to be obviously up in Missouri. Alabama Huntsville preseason ranked number 20. And then Missouri Western State, the host school of the Small College Basketball Hall of Fame Classic, that game on Saturday, they are receiving votes. So not an easy schedule for the Embry-Riddle men's basketball team to start things off. And then women's basketball, they will play their second and final exhibition game against Eastern Florida State on Monday. That game is at home. That is a 6:30 p.m. tip. So make sure you come out to the ICI Center and enjoy some Embry-Riddle women's basketball in their final tune-up before the regular season starts. Also, we have a big weekend for cross country as they partake in the NCAA Division II South Region Championship. That's over in St. Leo. And that's the same place where they ran the NCAA Division II pre-national meet, and also where the national meet is going to be in a couple weeks. So men's cross country has a very, very good shot of trying to be a top three. And if you are top three, you automatically qualify for the national championship. So it'll be a big race for the Embry-Riddle men. Women go over there and hopefully can get some maybe individuals to qualify for the national championship as well. So that is on Saturday over in St. Leo, Florida, men's and women's South Region Championship. And then finally, on November 11th, women's soccer will host the semifinals of the Sunshine State Conference Tournament. Opponent TBD. They will find out later on that Monday night. They will play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, which we still don't know who those seeds are going to be. But Coach Bohan and the Eagles will start their postseason journey on Thursday the 11th at home at 6 p.m. So another jam-packed week as fall sports are starting to wind down a little bit. Postseason's starting for them. And then basketball starting to get things going. It should be an exciting season for both the men and the women. All right, I think that's probably going to do it here for the Nest Podcast. For Mike, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening.